Today on Real Radio.
To do God's will in your life is to do what pleases him. And what is that? John 6:40. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Isn't that great?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series by Pastor Jack called The Will of God in Your Life. The will of God is so important in your life that Pastor Jack has decided to extend this series. The lesson is taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 and 10. So here's more in this mini-series by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs called The Will of God in Your Life.
Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah. Before you were born, I sanctified you." That is the word set apart. "I ordained you, Jeremiah, as a prophet to the nations of the world." Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak." All of God's people seem to say that to him. "I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Wow. Are you a Christian tonight? God's put his words in your mouth. He's ordained you. He's performing his will in your life, and he's controlling it all. He's directing you. When I can't find my direction, I just need to relax and let myself remember and know that God's controlling. Remember how this all started. Saul's donkeys got loose, and he was out wandering around, "Where's my dad's donkeys?" And God used those donkeys to get him to meet up in the next, 24 hours, God told Samuel, "About this time tomorrow, you're going to meet up with Saul." And it all started with donkeys running away. Crazy things, huh? We need to always ask and be careful to always ask directions from God. Always, you guys. By the way, it's a good but humbling thing, but good, to ask directions from God. It's to confess our human weakness when we ask for directions. Every man knows that when he's lost. He can't ask for directions. It's humiliating. But to ask God for directions, that's a good humbling thing that we need to do. You can read more about that regarding Saul or Paul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. I'll just paraphrase it, verses 1 through 6, where there Saul was breathing out threatenings against the church. Remember, he was brutalizing the church. And he was signing death orders for believers. And he thought he was doing God a service. And as he's on the road to Damascus, the Lord himself visits Paul, knocks him off his pony. Remember that? The glory of God knocked him flat off that thing. And Paul says, Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" An interesting question, huh? Who are you, Lord? I wonder if Paul had a hunch. "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, and you're persecuting me." Now, technically, Paul hadn't done anything to Jesus. But when you touch the bride of Christ, when you touch the believers, you're touching Jesus. It's as though you're touching the apple of his eye, the most tender part of his eye. You ever had your eye tampered with? It's one of the fastest reactions in your body, is to jerk away from something that's coming toward your eye. It's amazing. God's love for us. Why? He's got a plan. And we mentioned how God does not call him to Samuel. He does not call him commander. He calls Saul, or king, he calls him commander, excuse me. And I just love how specific God is. I even love how specific God can be vaguely. You ever heard God specifically vague? What I mean by that is Hebrews 11:8. Oh, that's specifically vague. Let me tell you. Hebrews 11:8, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called by God to go out and leave the place of his inheritance. And when he went out, he did not know where he was going. That's specific. God says, leave the place of your homeland. That's specific. Then Abraham starts going, and how vague is that? Okay, God, I'm following you. I'm leaving. That's the only info he had. Let's go. Can you imagine this summer? We wake up, roll out of bed. Hey, honey, let's go on vacation. Well, that's great. No, I mean, let's go. Now, go. Who? Let's go. Grab the dog, get the kids. Let's go. Well, where are we going? I don't know. But let's go. Where are we going? I don't have a clue. God will show us the way. Your wife will not get in the car. You know why? Because the dog won't even get in the car if that's the deal. You know, it's not going to happen. But even in God's vagueness, he's so specific. What do you mean? I mean this. Lord, this is the plan. I need to know and I need to do and I need to go and I need to. And God says, you know what? Do this thing. Yes, that's, and I will, Lord, but you didn't hear the rest of my plan. And God says, you do this thing. And you're not going to see the rest of your plan until you do that one thing. You know, who was the guy that said a journey, you know, starts with one step? Some Chinese proverb. There's a lot of truth to that spiritually. When God is leading, we have to make that first step. Moses got the children to the edge of the Dead Sea, or the Red Sea, excuse me. And they stood there, and Moses looks at it's great. He gets right up to the crest, and he looks. Oh, that's a lot of water. And Moses in this, it's almost a PR moment. Because he turns to the 2.5 million people. Ladies and gentlemen, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he's talking, and the people are like, and chariots are coming. And you can hear the squeaking of the wheels and the clanging of metal, and Pharaoh and his people are coming. And God says, it's great. It's a Spielberg moment. God says, Moses, Moses, I didn't tell you to stand here. Go! Quick, hurry across. I just stand still and see the salvation of God. Now, in my flesh, I understand that. There's no way to go but water ahead. We're going to drown. It's over. He turns to the people and says, stand still and see the salvation of God. Oh, God Almighty, what's going to happen? Oh, no, Lord. And God says, Moses, just close your mouth and get going. And I got a feeling, as soon as his foot hit that water, whoosh, I mean, you've seen the movie, haven't you? It opened up. And they all got swallowed up, those invading Egyptian forces. Which, by the way, if you get that CD on that virtual tour of Israel, there's some interesting photos out the bottom of the sea down there that has been unearthed. So that's just a little tease for you to get that teaching series on that CD. It's fantastic. God is so very good to us. We continue on with this. Let's keep going. Verse 17, we see here that God is so involved. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer or the prophet's house? And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer or the prophet. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. That's heavy. Think about what's going on. But as for your donkeys, they were lost 3 days ago. Do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and all your father's house? Look how involved God is, how sweet this is. Even though God was rejected as king, God speaks to Samuel. Here's the deal. Come close to me. We're going to eat together. And by the way, did you know, young man, the whole nation's looking for you. You're out looking for donkeys? The nation's looking for you. They want a king. You're going to be the one to rule and reign over God's people. And so specific, God speaks to Samuel and tells him details. And he's going to even give more as we continue on with this. Verses 18 to 20, we see here that God is always providing what God wants to do. God will provide. Frankly, I don't think God provides for things that he's not interested in. We may provide for that thing. And it usually comes to nothing, or it's a monument to man. But when God's providing for something, you can rest and relax. It's going to be a good thing. Look in verses 18 to 20 here. Then, or well, as we just read that, when he says, don't be anxious, the donkeys have been found. Verse 20, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? It is not on you, and is it not all in your father's house? This here just speaks to us how God is providing. As he controls, God provides. Chuck Smith taught us so long ago, you hear it all the time, when God guides, God provides. Isn't that just a neat little thing? You got to mark that down. When God's guiding, God's providing. You don't have to stress out about it. It's going to work. He's in it. By the way, a little bit of a spiritual investment counseling from the Word of God. Find out what God is in. Find out what God is interested in. That is incumbent upon you and I as believers. What is God doing in the world? Make sure it's of the Lord, and then get behind it. You can get behind it financially, you can get behind it prayerfully, or you can get behind it with your energy. Find out what it is. Let's continue on. Chapter 10, we'll skip down to there. Here in this portion, we see that God will be revealing his plan, ordaining, performing, controlling, and revealing. God will be revealing his specific plan in our lives. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? See the word commander again? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin. We know that that's Bethlehem today, by the way. And Zilzah, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went looking for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward there from there and come to the Timnath tree at Tabor. There, listen, you guys, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you. One will carry three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a wine or a jug of skin or a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. That's the camp of the enemy. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Now, we'll end with this portion of the study regarding the will of God in our lives, because from here on, from verse 6 down, we see God's fulfillment of this. But what an amazing thing. Listen how specific. Please be careful with this. How specific is God here, you guys? Extremely specific. He is revealing a very detailed order. Let that be a lesson to us. Don't be led astray. Don't go off some path. When somebody comes up to you, even though they may be a Christian brother or sister with a great game plan or a business deal, listen, you better pray. I don't care who they are. If a Christian wants to do business with this church, we enter into contracts. Because if you're a Christian, you should have no problem signing a contract. If you say, well, what's the matter, man? Don't you trust me? I trust God. Amen. If you have a problem signing the contract, God has already saved me a lot of hassle. If you can't sign it, then just go on your way and we'll find some secular company to do it right. It's true. And if somebody comes and says, you know, hey, Christian brother, come on, let's do this. And you know, I prayed about it and God showed me. Isn't he showing you? Now, you might say, well, I'm going to pray about it too. Well, Lord, show me. Show me if this is from you. I wouldn't pray that prayer. I would pray that prayer more specifically. Now listen, as soon as I said what I just said in the context of where I said it, some of your antenna might go up and say, wait a minute, it sounds like to me that Samuel's laying out here a fleece kind of a deal. It is, isn't it? Don't you think? He tells Saul, when you go, this is what you're going to see. So what does Saul go in the power of? He goes in the power of a man's word, right? Really? It's the word of a man. Yes, God told Samuel, but does Saul know that yet? He goes in the word of a man. But the details are so numerous and so perfect that they're beyond chance. Now, when somebody says, Lord, if you want me to get into this deal or buy that or move or whatever, you know, just encourage me in that direction. Well, you know what? You can get on the commute tomorrow morning and turn on the news, and Countrywide will be having a mortgage loan sale. And you'll be thinking, oh, that must be from God. And the street you pull down, the house didn't have a for sale sign on it yesterday, but it's got a for sale sign on it now. Must be from the Lord. You will get into a heap of trouble living like that. Christian, if God is speaking to you, and you know me, if some of you have asked me this, oh, the Lord showed me this, showed me that, and I'm supposed to do it. And I'll ask you, what verses has God given you from his word? And when you go, oh boy. I don't want to hear any more. He will lead you and guide you by and through his word. He fulfills his word. Samuel, there's no record of this. Even as we'll study next week, Samuel didn't go, yeah, the three loaves, the guys, the goats, the wine. Okay, see ya, Saul. See ya. Oh man, I hope it happens right. Oh, what if only two guys show up with a half a loaf? None of that. Samuel speaks. God's in it, so he doesn't worry about it. And as we'll see next time, Saul will go and see it happen exactly as God said. He didn't have to twist it, didn't have to bend it, didn't have to massage it. Why is that important? God revealing his plan for your life. Christian, God has that specific plan for your life that he wants you to know, but you will never know it unless you pursue him with all of your heart. And then he will be found by you. And when you find him, as he's waiting for you with all of these things, when you meet him, he will begin to reveal one step at a time. And you know what? You'll be like a little bird, like that robin I told you about at our house, eating right out of your hand. All along the way, hand to mouth, as it were, you and God. And so God speaks to the prophet Samuel for Saul, very revealed specifics. Christian, be wise and strong in the word these days. Do not be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine that comes by the sleight or craftiness of men. They look good. They sound good. Their shoes are worn out. Their bread's all moldy. Remember that when Joshua failed to consult? Oh, we've come to make peace with you, Joshua. We've heard great things about you. We're part of your brethren. Long distant family tree. No need to talk about that. We're just so happy to see you guys. Make a treaty with us that you won't ever attack us. And Joshua didn't consult with God because he looked at their worn out shoes and their moldy bread. And he said, well, these guys must be telling the truth. And Joshua blew it. And those people were a curse to Joshua and Israel from that point on. Be careful. Jesus said, be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. And so we'll do chapter 10 next week. And keep this in mind, if you would, that a couple of verses and we'll end. It'll take a second to give you these verses regarding the will of God for our lives. What is the will of God for our life, for my life, for your life? It's certainly to live an abundant life, Jesus tells us. It's to live a life separated from the things of this world that only hurts us. To be dedicated to God. To know him certainly more every day. But listen to what Peter says. Jot down the verses. You can read them later before you go to bed. It'd be great. 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the voice of ignorant and foolish men. That's the will of God. that the righteousness that you perform, it's just wise, and it puts to silence ignorant people. 1 Peter 2:15, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? I think if I was a parachutist, I'd have that on my parachute. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Why? Because Paul says, any man who sins, any man or woman who sins sexually sins against their own soul. It's the only sin, sexual sin is the only sin that attacks your own soul. Galatians 1:4. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, this is God's will, that we might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God. Trust in Jesus that he's delivered us from this present evil age. The will of God. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience, long-suffering, and joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Wow. That's God's will. Finally, this, John 6:40. To do God's will in your life is to do what pleases him. And what is that? John 6:40. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Isn't that great?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Will of God in Your Life. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 and 10, and we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now get ready to take down our contact information, which we'll have for you in just a minute, but first,
he who blesses Israel is blessed of God.
Beginning in Genesis 12 and throughout Scripture, believers are commanded to be a comfort to God's people.
We are grateful for this evening and the people that you've brought to us, all to stand for the defense of Israel.
Introducing the DVD, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity.
We stand together here in America, a nation very unique, like Israel, established by God.
Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity, features Pastor Jack and guest speakers like radio talk show host Dennis Prager.
The ignorance of the Bible is so staggering and so frightening.
Congressman Gary Miller.
In order to understand Israel, you have to broaden perspective beyond just being a student of the Bible. It's important to learn the lessons of history.
Yaki Lopez.
We are hopeful that this one, which followed 11 other ceasefires that were broken by Hamas, we are hopeful that this one will last, because we are a peace-loving nation. We seek peace, and we love peace, and we want peace.
For your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio, you'll get the DVD, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click the button on the right there that says Special Offer. Or call us, our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Ask for the DVD by name, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. That's at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.